Today, the last day of February, is also the last day of Black History Month. Commentator Gail Pemberton is on leave as Associate Director of the Afro-American Studies Department at Princeton University. She's been thinking about the evolution and significance of this month-long focus on Black history.
For the first time in I don't know how many years, I didn't make any appearances in conjunction with Black History, or if you prefer, African-American History Month. I'm on leave from my academic job and away from my regular haunts. I'm not complaining, it just felt out of the ordinary. Throughout the country, schools, churches, bank lobbies, bookstore windows, television and radio stations, civic centers, museums, colleges, theaters, and big businesses have worked overtime to stage special exhibitions this month to commemorate the contributions of African Americans to this country. I don't know what Carter G. Woodson, who was a founder of Negro History Week in 1926, would make of the current month-long celebration. Woodson and an impressive roster of African Americans, from writers Zora Neale Hurston and James Weldon Johnson to artist Aaron Douglas and theorist Alan Locke and many others, were the core of what we commonly call the Harlem Renaissance. It was a flowering of Black intellectual, political, and artistic expression, whether one thinks of it as a renaissance or not. As the nation's premier Black historian, Woodson was trying to make sure that the contributions and sacrifices of Black people to American culture did not get lost in the whirlwind of a soaring stock market or the haze of an F. Scott Fitzgerald jazz age. Half a century later, February is the month when African American academics, artists, pundits, and successful business people and athletes find their phones ringing off the hook. The requests run from the sublime to the ridiculous, from novelists and poets reading their work to bookstore and mall exhibits replete with plastic-coated kente cloth doilies. And while it's important that we collectively recognize that African Americans are part of the woof and warp of this country, from at least as far back as 1620, we have to make sure that February isn't the only time we're interested in learning about it. The very effort to separate African-American contributions from our general history runs the risk of distorting things, of suggesting that Black culture is marginal and able to be excised from the larger sphere of American history. It goes quite a bit beyond slam dunks and high fives. Anyone who's heard spirituals, or rock and roll, the blues and jazz, or listened to the rhythms of our vernacular speech, or read about our wars fought at home and abroad, isn't really going to understand any of it without considering the African-American component. So, I have a modest proposal. Why not make Black History Month the kickoff to a greater immersion into our collective American history? We could start very simply with birthday celebrations in black and white, adding greater ethnic variety along the way. In February, we could stage readings on the birthdays of Langston Hughes, Gertrude Stein, Toni Morrison, W.H. Auden, John Steinbeck, and W.E.B. Du Bois, as we gaze at Augustus Savage sculptures. We could relieve our tax woes on April 15th by listening to Bessie Smith, who was born that day, sing the blues. April 29th could be National Mood Indigo Day to commemorate the genius of Duke Ellington, with Zubin Mehta conducting. On August 1st, we could start reading Herman Melville's most famous book, Moby Dick, with its opening line of Call Me Ishmael, and the next day take on James Baldwin's Nobody Knows My Name. We could stage plays by Entezaki Shange and Wendy Wasserstein, who were both born on October 18th, and how about a Cab Calloway and Humphrey Bogart festival on Christmas Day? I would not abandon Black History Month. I'm afraid its demise would mean that African-American speakers would miss important opportunities to educate audiences, and many exhibits would go unseen. But as Langston Hughes once wrote, culture is a two-way street, and a more constant everyday inquiry into the relationship of black and white in this country would suit me much better.
Gail Pemberton is the author of the memoir, The Hottest Water in Chicago.